Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I'm Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen for a bit.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
I'm doing okay. I've already recorded the show. This is all out of whack.
Yeah.
Because Pokemon Direct happened or something. Mm-hmm. Something that's apparently very important in the Pokemon world. Laurie and Pete had to do something about it.
Nerds.
It's thrown off our schedule.
It has a little bit, like, I think we've mentioned this before. We've got a whiteboard in the office now. And I painstakingly detailed out the studio usage today. And that just all went out the window. I think by like 12 o'clock, it all sort of fallen apart, really. And Pete and Laurie were meant to be in at 12. They didn't get into 1 or even later than that. It was all... We were meant to record something, and that's just completely gone.
Oh, I was never going to do that.
You're never going to do
no,
it?
No, no, no.
It's funny as well.
I did announce that to the room. Maybe you weren't there.
It might have been, because yesterday we said we were going to do it. This is obviously, we were going to do like a Godzilla King of the Monsters review because we went to go see it last night. And we had said that we were going to do it yesterday. And I think we had even said it after the screening last night. And which is why I throw to it at the end of my Screen Stalker review.
No, I think I don't remember confirming it. I never intended to do that, actually.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm sure it's fine. Me and Laurie were like, it'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
I don't think anyone's going to notice. I think we can probably get away with it. But yeah, we went to go see that last night, and we had fun going to see the film.
There was booze there.
There was booze there.
It was really delicious Peroni.
Yeah.
I said this at the time, and you no-sold it. Because we're with someone else.
Well, he's so cool.
Who's much cooler than us.
He's so much cooler than pretty much everyone I know.
He can talk to everyone. He dresses so smart.
Oh, yeah. I felt like such a slob standing next to him. Because I was there in my shorts and T-shirt.
And I was like, wow, this Peroni out tastes really nice. Nicer than usual. And he went, oh, that's interesting. Because it's in a plastic cup. And I felt like a piece of crap.
No, I thought he was like agreeing with you because usually within a plastic cup, it doesn't taste as nice.
In the dating world, that's called a neg.
Oh no, you thought he was negging you.
I think he was negging me. Oh. He's trying to chip me down.
Well.
Trying to alpha me.
Well, I've completely changed my opinion.
Which is what Godzilla's all about, isn't it?
It is.
He was trying to become the alpha monster.
The alpha monster, yeah. Big, big plot line of the film. Yeah, you know, that's out of cinemas now. Anyway, this came in from Jacob, and it's regarding something a question we had on the magazine show a little while back. He says, regarding Vince McMahon being voted off the board. Remember we had this question in saying, like, what would...
Yeah, I don't know how it could happen.
So here he says, hello, WrestleTalk team, minus that dork. On Saturday's podcast, a pledgehammer suggested that the board of directors basically tried to reduce the value of WWE stock in order to lose conventional money and forced him out of creative control. Here's a big reason why that is not a good idea. One of the first things they teach you about corporations in any business class is that the number one cause of the corporation is to increase shareholders' wealth. This means trying to maximize the stock value. If the board was to intentionally decrease the value, the company as a whole would basically be screwed. This cause investors to back out. Or this could cause, he misses a word, they could cause current investors to back out. Potential investors to find new opportunities and would ultimately make the company worse off than it currently is. No amount of Saudi money could make that situation worthwhile. Sorry for the quick rant, I just had to get that off my chest. I still love the show and wish to become a pledgehammer soon once I find a full-time job this summer. Love you guys, presumably in business.
Business.
That was a business email.
So that can't happen. Vince, that's absolutely what we suspected.
Shout out to Sam as well, who sent an email, say, to the WrestleTalk crew and everyone on the planet, but not Randy Datson. Today is the day that I decided WWE no longer deserves a penny of my hard-earned money. While I will continue to watch Raw and SmackDown, I have cancelled my subscription after the farce of a finale that was Money in the Bank. I shall proceed to watch the pay-per-views and NXT through... For the next month, I will invest that money into something that has arguably brought me more joy, you fine gentlemen.
Yeah.
Looking forward to being a pledgeham and enjoying more of your awesome content. Sam from Leicester. P.S. I will also look into buying a Support WrestleTalk t-shirt.
Ah, thank you very much for your your support of us.
Still got that cough, have you?
A little bit. It's getting better. Imagine if 1.5 million WWE Network subscribers became our pledgehams.
It's always possible.
We would just do a month and then pack up shop and leg it.
The pressure to do a really good Wrestle Ramble extra that month will probably be too much for me.
Yeah. The production values will get worse.
This comes in from Scott, speaking of which, on the Pledgehammer front, said I sent this message on Patreon, but wasn't sure how to use if they're monitored. They are. I'm just very bad at doing this sort of thing. Emailing me is better for this, unless you want questions for the mailbag, in which case, use Patreon. Hey guys, absolutely love the content you produce. I came across the WrestleTalk, the YouTube channel last year, and have been listening to content almost religiously the last few months. You get me through some long drives and lonely times at work. I suffer from chronic depression. You really help put a smile on my face. This week, I've been scrolling through old podcasts, having listened to all the recent content. Amazingly, Ollie and Luke reading through Big Apple Takedown finally pushed me to become a pledgehammer on Patreon.
Hey.
The commentary had me dying in laughter at what I'm sure is a very poor read. Not intended to be funny at all. Keep on entertaining, you guys rock. P.S. I got a good laugh listening to the Raw in Review, hearing Ollie praise the Moment of Bliss segments that he now wishes never existed.
When?
Apparently in the Year in Review episode, you were praising of the Moment of Bliss. But I think it was the old Moment of Bliss. You remember when she was feuding with Nia Jax?
Yeah, and they were the little... it was like an anti-bullying PSA announcement thing.
Yes. Yeah. Not the talk show Moment of Bliss.
No, the talk show has been terrible from the get-go. Talking of Big Apple Takedown.
Yes, mate.
I'm kind of wishing it just finishes soon.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're bored of doing it now.
Not bored. It's just that we've had a lot of Triple H chapters... And they're not as fun.
Well, yeah, it was like three on the bounce. Mm. And I think the next one's probably going to be a bit Triple H heavy as well. Because basically, a Triple H chapter is just that he already knows what's going on, but you, the reader, are too dumb to know what's going on.
Yeah. So he points it out to you. And then all the other characters are doing things. And he's like, I already knew that.
Yeah. It'll be like a long bit of exposition about what's happening. And then it'll be like, of course, Triple H already knew this.
Which sucks out all the drama of the scene.
I know.
It'd be great if he was the bad guy.
Yeah.
But he's not. He's the babyface hero.
Basically the lead. But anyway, let's crack on into the show. What are you discussing in this show?
We are discussing, is the wild card rule ruining SmackDown?
Well, here's the show.
We talk about that wild card rule.
Mm-mm-mm.
Where are you at on the wild card rule?
I hate it.
Did you always hate it?
Yeah.
You hated it from the get-go.
Always and forever, yeah. As soon as they announced that, I was like, for God's sake. It was one of those things where I just thought, well, this is exactly how it starts going back to being boring and not brand splitty, and it's going to be completely contrived and pointless and no one knows the rules. And I was right.
Yes.
It was great. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I was optimistic.
Mm.
I remember when it happened.
You fool.
Initially, I was like, oh, that's a bad idea. Because I quite like the integrity of the brand split.
Me too, yeah.
Even though... that went to pot in the build-up to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
At least I was like, but after WrestleMania, it's going to be back to two distinct brands, and Survivor Series is the one night a year when those two brand stars go head-to-head in direct competition. But the wild card rule thing happened, so I thought, but, you know, ratings are down. They do need a Hail Mary, and they did it. And I've got to say, for the first week or so, I was like, you know what? It is fun seeing Sami Zayn on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. It is fun seeing Roman Reigns also on SmackDown.
And Raw.
Yeah, because
he's a SmackDown guy now.
I'm pretty sure he's a SmackDown guy.
Pretty sure.
They made a big deal out of it.
I mean, the Superstar Shakeup is still happening?
Is it? I don't know. It's never going to end. And one of the main worries was that back in the day, after the initial brand split, the original one in 2002,
maybe
sometime, there was a long period where one show was better than the other. Mm-hmm. WWE have only got a limited capacity. And then they sort of gave up on that and just said, Raw's the main show, SmackDown is going to be the repeat show. Because really, you think you've got two brands, you tell one set of stories on this show, another set of stories on that show. And now, with Shane McMahon being the main offender and everything that comes with him, we are now getting the same people and the same stories told on both Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
And because SmackDown comes second, it's turning it into a Raw repeat.
Yep, absolutely. And that, I hated that period of time when SmackDown was just the repeat show. I even remember once when me and my friend at the time, we were meeting up to watch, I think it was WrestleMania. I was staying at his the whole weekend. I was having like a whole weekend sleepover. It was a big deal.
Adults.
Yeah, I know. I probably wasn't an adult then, but sure. Whatever. And we got really excited because we were like, we'll watch SmackDown, which will be like the big, you know, be the go-home episode for WrestleMania. And it was literally like Booker T and another guy just being like, I'm really excited for WrestleMania. Let's show you some video packages or whatever. There wasn't an episode of SmackDown at all. And I was like, you have an episode to do. Like, why is there nothing here? I hated that period of time when it's that. And it's when they started doing the Raw Super Shows.
Yes.
Was when they killed it off and then they said, oh, we're going to have all the SmackDown and the Raw guys on both shows now. Like, oh my God.
I forgot about the Super Shows.
I know.
That's what the wild card is.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a Super Show under a different name.
And that is why I hated it from the off. Because as soon as they said wild card, I was like, it's the Raw Super Shows all over again. I was like, no, this is it.
Because I think up until this week, Raw has, well, obviously the big SmackDown stars are on Raw, but to argue the good side of this, the big Raw stars have been on SmackDown. Like, yeah. The Usos have been really great on and delivering good matches. Who else?
I was going to say Roman. No, he's a SmackDown guy now.
But Shane. There were Lacey Evans. Miz? Shane McMahon does not count. Miz.
He wasn't on
is
this
a
one.
Raw guy.
He's a Raw guy now, though. the thing is, you're saying all these big Raw stars. They're the people that got good on SmackDown, like the Usos and the Miz and stuff like that. So, are they really Raw guys?
But this week was the first week I felt that Raw got the better end of the deal. Mm-hmm. It was a Raw Super Show. And yeah. SmackDown, as much as I love him, got Drew McIntyre.
Yep.
And Lacey Evans. And it just didn't feel like there was a fair split there. On Raw, you've got Brock Lesnar, you've got Seth Rollins, you've got Kofi Kingston, you've got Becky Lynch.
She Raw now?
She was SmackDown, but because she's the Raw Women's Champion, she's now listed on Wikipedia, super accurate.
Right.
As a Raw star.
As Raw. So she wasn't part of the Superstar Shake-Up, nor is she a wild card, but she has gone from SmackDown to Raw.
I think you can argue that does work out on a technicality, though.
Mm-hmm.
But,
sure.
But on SmackDown, as much as I love all these guys, it felt so lacking in star power. Yeah. Elias, Drew McIntyre, R-Truth, mm-hmm. are three quarters of the main event, which is really just to get one guy over.
Yep.
Kofi Kingston and Kevin Owens open the show. Like, it just felt very lacking in star power, SmackDown, where while Raw had a lot of faults and SmackDown was an easier show to watch, I don't think Raw lacked. I'd never say Raw lacked in star power this week.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Miz curse continues because now the Miz has gone to Raw and now suddenly SmackDown is worse
That's
again.
That's a good point.
I don't understand.
Well, Raw, I think, had it beat in worseness.
Okay, yeah, no, that's true, yeah. Raw, I think, has the potential to be better if that's how they're going to treat it with like the wild card rule and stuff. I think in time to come, I think Raw is probably going to get mildly better, or maybe SmackDown's just going to get more worse than Raw.
Yeah. Maybe there is only a finite amount of good in this entire company.
Yeah.
So this the most egregious example of the entire wild card rule so far mm-hmm. came in this episode of SmackDown, and that was Shane McMahon Appreciation Night. There he is. So this was essentially the same segment we got on Raw the previous night, where Shane just comes down to the ring, talks about how great he is and how rubbish Roman Reigns is because they're going to have a fight at Super Arabia, and Drew McIntyre is beside him being intimidating. And the only difference really was that Elias was there too this time.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those segments, no, the Raw one didn't end with a 24/7 shenanigans piece, did it?
No.
It ended in a match and Roman came out and saved them. Anyway, it was just like a really uninspired copy and paste segment of the previous night.
Yep.
But you've got so many other people on your roster that you could devote this time to, but it's getting absorbed by what WWE think is the most important thing. And Shane versus Roman is an important thing, but it should only be on one show.
Yep. Absolutely, yeah. They're focusing way too much on Shane, and that's not anything new. But I think, like you said, they have so many other people. Like, Andrade got to cut a promo this week like that lasted about 20 seconds. And that's it. Like, we haven't seen... We got a WWE.com exclusive of Finn Balor. Like, you have so many people that need to... Especially guys like Andrade and Finn, who get over from their in-ring work and how good they are at wrestling, when they don't get to do that, and all they get is to say, I've hurt my back and, you know... not going to be wrestling. How are you going to get how are you going to make stars? How are you going to do anything with these guys? They need time to do that. And all of it's just been taken and enveloped by Shane and all his cronies. It's terrible.
Buddy Murphy.
Oh, God. I forgot he existed. I forgot he existed.
Yeah.
God, that's terrible.
So there was a slightly interesting thing here in the appreciation night. I don't know if you picked up on it.
Mm-hmm.
He introduced his own video package, which is a perfect heel thing to do.
Yeah, it was great.
The video package was edited to make him seem amazing. That's the right way to use it. Baby faces should not be saying, and here is a video package recapping my feud with so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
But he said afterwards, wow, our production team is amazing.
Yep.
Under the awesomeness of Kevin Dunn.
Yep. Give a shout out to Kevin Dunn.
So apparently, Shane McMahon and Kevin Dunn are good friends.
Yeah.
When the Vice article came out a couple of years ago about the big backstage rift in the McMahon family, Shane was aligned to Dunn. And apparently it was Dunn who kind of politicked to get Shane back into the company. And the other side is Triple H and Stephanie McMahon, who really want to replace Kevin Dunn when they get like the main power, reportedly.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting dynamic, especially because Dunn is never mentioned in WWE.
No, never.
Yeah.
Not at all. It's very rare if we even get to see him. And generally if we see him, it's by accident.
Mm.
Like, something will happen and be like, wasn't that Kevin Dunn?
Yeah.
Is he supposed to be in that shot? Or we'll like accidentally hear him over the producer's mic or something like that.
Or it'll be half a shot because he wears a cape, doesn't he, backstage?
Exactly,
usually over an organ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's perfect.
Not a piano organ either. Like, someone's organ he's ripped out of a Diva Search contestant.
Absolutely, yeah. It was a strange shout. And then people start to boo that. And then he goes, no need to boo Kevin Dunn. It's just like, you're a heel. They're going to boo what you say. Sorry.
Well, I think maybe it was used as a very weird way to get heat.
Yeah.
Heel heat from a specific part of the audience.
Yeah, just the smarky ones, like us.
It was and just like so many days after AEW, which had... different style of production, not massively, but it was different to the Dunn style, you know, not crash zoom all the time.
Yeah.
And he brings it up, it just very strange.
Yeah, it was.
But anyway, Elias starts to do a song thing. R-Truth runs in, trying to run away from Drake Maverick. He pins Drake Maverick.
Which makes no sense.
That doesn't work, right? He should just run away. I thought that was the point.
Exactly. Because there's no match. You can't win the match if you pin someone.
Yeah.
Whoop-de-doo, there's no match. Like, it's not like a guy said, you guys are in a match now, there needs to be a winner. If someone pins the champion, they win the belt, but there's no match. The person can't retain their belt in a match.
Yeah. It's one long championship scramble.
Yeah.
Yeah. It never ends. But anyway, Truth beat Drake Maverick. He jumped up, realized where he was, and the Midcard of Evil beat him up, and Elias became the 24/7 champion. And then later on in the night, we got another Shane proxy versus Roman Reigns main event.
Yeah.
Which was good. Like, it had... Roman got a big babyface pop when he got the tag.
He did.
So that's... Which is better than it has been in previous weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And the ending was quite fun as well. R-Truth was worked over for ages. Roman got the hot tag. He ran wild. Mm-hmm. Drew McIntyre went to claymore him on the outside. Roman just was like, nope. Yep. Stepped out the way. You know how Samoa Joe does?
Yeah, yeah,
when
yeah.
someone dives.
Yeah, and he's like, nope. Nah. Not going to catch you.
And so Drew just lands flat on his back on the commentary desk and makes this almighty slap sound.
Yeah, that was great. And then because Roman had Shane, which was the distraction that Drew was trying to go for.
Mm.
And then as he went to claymore, he kind of split Shane and Roman. So Roman still couldn't get his hands on Shane because Shane ran away, which is fine. Yeah, I enjoyed that. That was cool.
It was a nicely choreographed spot.
It was nicely done. And then after they got back in, Roman hits Elias with a spear. 1, 2, 3, Roman wins.
Which is fine. It is what it is.
Yeah.
But what I really liked was that R-Truth got his title back off the back of this. And then, you know, Roman wins. Oh, yeah, of course he does.
Yep.
R-Truth regains his championship. I love you, Roman. Thank you.
I am glad you found optimism in that one.
Oh, did you not like the finish of the show?
It's not that I didn't like it. It was just like, oh, so R-Truth's got it back. Like, I want to see as much as I didn't like the 24/7 championship announcement itself, the fact there was 3 champions in one night, and I was like, okay, that's kind of funny. And R-Truth has got the belt. He can do some fun comedy stuff with it. And they did their version of comedy with him running away and all that stuff that he did, and I was like, okay, the R-Truth stuff is over now, and we'll have Elias as a champion for a bit, and then it'll pass on to someone else, and they'll keep hotshotting it between people, and they'll have their little funny skits that they can do. Now it's back on R-Truth again. I'm like, oh, they're gonna do more of the running away crappy comedy stuff now. I'm like, just left me a little bit flat afterwards,
unless it does a what do you call it when he keeps on winning.
It was like the Houdini of hardcore, so he'll be the can't think of anyone that does more escaping things that isn't Houdini.
Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah, sure.
He'll be the Zack Sabre Jr. of WWE.
Of the 24/7 championship.
But he could give Charlotte a run for her money on title reigns.
Oh my God,
she's like a 9-time champion in 3 years?
Yeah.
He could become an even more champion in a couple of weeks.
That'd be fun.
But yeah, it was. I mean, I liked it. Truth's a 2-time champ. I mean, I liked it within the confines of WWE. If you ask me, alongside Breaking Bad and The Sopranos, I don't rate it that highly.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Anyway, it's time to do some Pledge Hammer Patreon shout-outs. Thank you very much to all of our Patreons. These are the $25 a month or more. So, Nathan, for you, Ford.
Woo!
Thank you very much. Luke came up with these. I don't understand half the references.
Yeah, no, me neither. Can I see
you?
You
can see that.
I can see that. Shower lurker Jacob Bates.
Oh. I think that's
a bit weird.
No, that's okay. It's a Psycho reference from Norman Bates.
Right.
It's not just calling him a shower lurker.
Not just saying he lurks in showers.
Undefeated Bianca Roman Urina.
Undefeated. Quinius the Killer Clown.
Woo!
Yeah, Quinius. Yeah.
Salutations, Josh Salome.
Salome.
Oh, you did so well at the beginning.
Salome, yeah.
Kirsten. Just Kirsten.
Woo! Joe, just Joe. T-Rex Joseph Clamoran. T-Rex Joseph Clamoran.
Yeah.
Say twice for you.
Leader of the boys, Dalton Sizemore.
Which, if that's his real name, is one of my favourites. What's the other one? Michael Lion, Miss Mikeys.
Miss Lane Mikeys.
Got it.
That's good. Girls on film, Evie Duran.
Yeah, Evie.
Duran.
Wise man say, Soren Weisner?
Sure.
Soren Weisner.
Thanks, Soren.
And lastly, it's the Toxic Dogma Avenger.
Woo! Okay, so let's go through your super chats. Judas Black, did they really cheer for having earthquakes?
Yeah, I'm gonna come to that later. But I was losing my mind about
Luke's
that one.
Running in to help
makes
us out.
Makes no sense. Hey, Luke.
Yes, so this makes no sense. That's how great a heel promo Daniel Bryan is.
I don't get it. Why is he a heel? I don't get it.
I don't think even like awful people like fracking, and he got people to cheer fracking. Essentially,
he got people to cheer fracking and cheer earthquakes.
Tim Ardent says, "Hey guys, what do you make of Vince Russo tweeting that WWE and AEW are working together? Also, sorry for not answering your question yesterday, Randy. My name is pronounced Aunt.
Aunt.
So Tim Aunt.
Tim Aunt.
WWE and AEW working together?
No.
Bro.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I don't think that's working.
Yeah, no. Not
BM Chambly. Ollie, I have a burger. Taking lunch. See you in 15. I can't be there. I'm doing this show. But thank you. JPCROTC, what do you think of the breakout year that Teddy Spaghetti has been having? I don't know who Teddy Spaghetti is.
I have no idea.
Are you just laughing at the name Teddy Spaghetti?
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like he's having a great run of it so
far.
Yeah.
Props to him, I guess.
KJ says, Bailey, This Is Your Life segment was 2 years ago today.
Oh, my God.
That segment is the definition of trash.
Yeah, it really is. And now she's SmackDown Women's Champion. So, you know, it makes stars, obviously.
Yeah, directly off the back of that. That was the start of the rebuilding process.
2 year storyline to now.
I mean, that is the popular go-to for worst ever.
It is. It's pretty bad.
But people like that old day segment, which came either 8 months before or the summer after.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Was also excruciating.
Mm, yeah.
WWE's been terrible recently, but I wouldn't say anything's been as bad. As This Is Your Life.
Yeah, not that period. No, nothing was as bad as that. That was the worst.
Thank you, Doug Simpson, for just your generous donations there. RJ Kalmarin says, "Wait, you're not MJF." is that towards you?
I assume. Do I look similar? Not really.
Because you've got a big beard. You've got a big bushy beard.
Yeah.
Did you see in the Shane Appreciation Night promo opposite the hard cam, there was a big sign that said, "You're not MJF."
You're not MJF, yeah.
So potentially it's that.
Probably that.
And then Adrian Wells, thank you very much. Sal Garcia, Ollie, they are doing your fantasy booking of Roman and the Family. I guess with Lance Anaway,
yeah, not, you know, the family like the Usos and
the Usos.
Everyone else.
That was also part of a big heel turn, I believe, which I don't think can work now. That means they'll totally do it.
Oh yeah, of course.
Chris Field, what did you think about Lacey versus Bayley match? Do you think they're going to do Charlotte versus Lacey? We'll get on to the Lacey versus Bayley match
in a bit, but
what do you think about the Mega Blondes imploding?
Good, because I don't want to see Charlotte and Lacey together. Mm-hmm. I didn't think they were a very good act together, because I feel like their gimmicks are almost too similar, so that it was Charlotte was just being Lacey rather than being Charlotte. So I don't really want to see them together. So that's good. Not really interested in a match between them, though. I'd rather they just kind of drop it as it is now. Lacey goes back to Raw, Charlotte stays on SmackDown.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully this was just more of a split of the two.
Exactly.
I'm getting an update in my earpiece. How's production looking, gang?
I think we fixed it.
Fantastic. Yeah, yeah,
did everyone else just hear that?
Yeah.
If people can confirm in the chat that they can actually hear me.
That would be grand.
That would be ideal.
That's right, get back to it. Carry on. I'll fix this.
And more technical difficulties.
What did you prefer? Andy being available to hear or no Andy? Let us know in the comments.
Don't do that.
Ollie, Omar Diaz, shouldn't Roman be the 24/7 champion? He pinned Elias.
Yeah, I mean, so Shane ruled that the 24/7 rule was null and void, which defeats the point of 24/7, the name 24/7, until the match was over. He didn't win the title, but then after that, he was like, I don't want to win the title. R-Truth have it.
Yeah, which shows how important it is.
Yeah, really important title, guys.
Imagine if that's where the heel turn came from. After all these years, R-Truth, mate, you know, take the title. Yeah. One, two. Oh! And then he just beats the living crap out of...
Spears him.
Out of Truth.
Spears him out the ring. Yeah, yeah. Great.
And then he pins Elias.
Yep.
Becomes double turn.
And then he holds the 24/7 championship ransom.
Mm-hmm.
And always avoids everyone. Always retains it every time.
It's money. That's how you compete with AEW. Okay, let's give this another go. Randy Andy Datsun. Yeah.
Owens pinned clean on SmackDown. Ziggler only doing Super Showdown. Kofi beats Ziggler, then gets chair, beat down on Kofi. Lesnar's music hits, cashes in. Lesnar new face of SmackDown on Fox.
Potentially, but I think if they, as we talked about yesterday, if they do that, they'll hold off until closer to the Fox deal, the switch.
Yeah.
So I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I mean, when does the Fox deal do? Is it
October?
October.
Yeah.
And I think the next Saudi show is in November, isn't it? Because I think if like a Brock championship win, Saudi Arabia is a great place to do it because you won't get as much negative feedback from the crowd in Saudi Arabia as you would in anywhere else in the world.
And sometimes when you've got bad news, it's best just to lump all that bad news in
together.
And then from a viewer, you're like, I don't know what to be angry about.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It all feels like one bit of bad news when actually there's loads of bad news.
Exactly. So
there's a famous quote. I think it was Alistair Campbell or some PR guy from the early noughties where... They announced the war on Iraq in the UK, and he said, today's also a good time to mention those budget cuts, because it'll get lost in the news cycle. So that's one way of doing it.
Yep.
Which began with Kevin Owens.
Yes, it did.
Kevin Owens, who said he did not attack Big E.
Strange.
Mm.
Yeah. Why would Big E say that he did then?
So I didn't hear this. I thought the attacker of Big E last Tuesday was a bigger mystery.
Yeah.
And it was implied that it was Ziggler, but then Ziggler denied that.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Raw on Monday, Kofi said, Owens attacked Big E last week. And I didn't know, I don't remember hearing that.
Yeah.
And now Owens is saying he didn't attack Owens. But someone sent us a clip where, Big E's rolling around on the ground going, it was Owens!
Mm.
Does sound like,
Owens. Yeah, there we go, So maybe this is like a... Maybe, I know I'm being crazy here, maybe WWE is doing some sort of long-term storytelling. Sami Zayn got attacked. Still don't know who attacked him. Big E got attacked. Now everyone's denying it. Are they doing some sort of long build for like a Bray Wyatt or someone? Like, what's it for? I don't know. I know I'm being way too optimistic to think there's actually a point to all of this, because I don't think there will be. I think the Sami Zayn one was just to write him out of the match, and I think the Big E one is because he's still injured, so they wanted to keep doing that. But I'm optimistic that this is actually going to lead to something.
Mm.
Maybe.
So the thing that keeps getting me is how Sami Zayn was sacrificially hung up. And I guess Bray Wyatt would be an answer to that. I was thinking Aleister Black.
Yeah,
because he keeps on talking about waiting for someone to come to him. So maybe he's going out and attacking people. And then what a great way to re-debut Aleister Black right into the WWE title picture.
That'd be great.
That would be amazing.
That'd be absolutely class, yeah.
I don't think that's what they're going to do.
No, no, not at all.
I think Big E attacked himself.
He did it for The Rock.
Or Xavier attacked him.
Oh,
some
no.
version where the New Day turns heel on itself.
Oh,
it's not
dumb.
What I want.
No, that's terrible.
It's what I think Vince McMahon wants to give us.
Yeah, of course.
Hmm.
Terrible. So, yeah, the show actually opened with like a video package of Ziggler attacking Kingston. And then Kevin Owens did his entrance, and the commentators said for about the first time of what would be about 200 times this episode, it's a pay-per-view caliber main event match to kick off the show. They said that so many times.
Yeah.
It They've got their buzzwords. Annoyed me so much. Yeah, they got their buzzwords. And then after Owens does his entrance, got another video package of Owens and the New Day story being recapped and the whole story they had of Owens joining and then turning heel, which we already saw at Money in the Bank, but they're going to show us again anyway.
Yeah. It was, like, at least it wasn't Raw, because Raw took about an hour and 40 minutes before we got a proper match.
That's true.
So this only took 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So I was overjoyed with how fast this sipped along.
Yeah. I would have preferred it if they just came out and had a match, but that's just me.
SmackDown is such it's benefited tremendously by Raw being a buffer between it and AEW Double or Nothing.
That's true.
Otherwise, I'll be a lot more down on this SmackDown episode.
Yeah, for sure.
But the Kofi came out. It was I would say a pay-per-view caliber match.
It was good.
I thought it was a really good match, but I didn't invest in any of the drama.
Not at all.
Because I didn't think Owens was going to beat him at all, because it's the opening match.
Mm-hmm.
And I've already seen Kofi beat him completely clean just 8 days ago.
Yep.
So rather than it feeling like a big deal, it just felt like a copy and paste thing, just like the Shane McMahon segment from earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did not buy into near falls, I guess, because Owens had a couple of good spots in this match where he did like, he super kicked Kofi, who was hanging on the ropes, onto the outside and then did a frog splash off the apron onto the outside. I was like, oh, that's really cool. And then got him in afterwards. He kicked out with two. And then he did another frog splash from the top rope. And I was like, these are some really good spots. Like, this looks cool. But Owens isn't winning. Mm. Like, I'm not buying this at all. And then, of course, as is the case with every week of Raw and SmackDown, the ad breaks just kill it for me. I take myself out of matches. As soon as ad breaks hit, I am like, I'm gone out of these matches. It's so hard for me to get back into a match after I've seen an ad break, because I'm like, well, I'm not seeing any wrestling anymore. Mm. I'm sitting here and I'm bored now. It's the worst.
So you've got the shrink screen ad breaks.
The shrink screen
in
ads.
SmackDown, yeah. But you've also got the
and
hard
then the hard breaks. Ad breaks, yeah.
I didn't notice that as much here. It is a problem, and that's it's not that wrestling has never had ad breaks. Wrestling has ad breaks since as long as I've been watching it. But you're right, it's where WWE choose to put the ads. So rather than see the bits of the story you need to see to sort of invest in the drama of the match, that's where they take the ad break.
Yep.
Because while that is probably low-key the least interesting part of a match, because it's, you know, sometimes rest holds, sometimes back and forth, that they look at that and think, oh, it's not crazy exciting, let's cut that out.
Mm-hmm.
When really, they should keep it in, because that's what you need to follow where everyone is.
Exactly, and to invest in the finish that comes and the near falls and stuff. If we'd seen, or if we'd properly seen Owens do his beatdown of Kofi in the ad breaks, then I probably would have been like, oh, this is really good. Oh, that was a close near fall and stuff like that. But after I'm just seeing an opening bit where it's just a little bit back and forth, and then I see Owens hitting these big spots and he's getting a near fall, I'm like, oh, well. Like,
yeah.
It's not enough there. So it's a good TV match, for sure. I wouldn't call it pay-per-view caliber. Pay-per-view main event caliber, I should say.
Carmella and R-Truth were shown sneaking around backstage next. Why does Carmella have to be carried piggyback style?
She's
small.
Surely
that would slow Truth down.
Yeah, but don't you understand? She's a lady. She can't run as fast
her
as a man.
Her knee hurts from Money in the Bank.
Oh, was that actually explained?
No.
Right.
No, you're just chatting rubbish.
But they hide in a room from Drake Maverick.
Mm-hmm.
I love Drake Maverick.
Yeah.
But I think he can easily take him out backstage, especially when Carmella's there too.
Former United States champion, R-Truth, not that long ago, might I add.
Oh, yeah.
That happened.
Hey, Pete. WWE has a billion combined social media followers. How many do you have, All Elite Wrestling, stupid t-shirt company?
A billion social media followers. I wonder how many of those are unique, though. Because that's combined over, what was it, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. A lot of those are going to be the same kind of people. So I think that's a little bit inflated. And also, isn't that across like all of their Twitter accounts as well? Like not just WWE Twitter accounts, but I think it's the superstars' Twitter accounts as well, including those sets.
That would make
sense. They like big numbers.
Hey, yeah, they're in the promotion game. I mean, really, that's probably 679 million. They've WrestleMania'd it and,
absolutely,
rounded up the attendance figures. I've just written Russian bots. They exist.
Yeah, totally that.
Then we got probably my favorite thing on the show, because how could it not be? Daniel Bryan cut a promo. Bryan and Rowan came down to the ring to talk about SmackDown's non-existent tag division to Kayla Braxton, the lady who cruelly snatched a microphone away from a girl, from a young child, the previous night. No heat for her whatsoever.
No, definitely not.
And Rowan was... He's not a promo guy.
No, he's really not.
I don't get why. Just have him. He is a lot more scary just there saying nothing.
Yeah. But he's considerably less scary when he says, knock, knock.
Yeah.
Why is he cutting knock, knock jokes?
Knock, knock. Who's there, says Kayla Braxton. The SmackDown Tag Division, says Rowan. And Kayla says, the SmackDown Tag Division who? And then Rowan laughs. Exactly. So it's not even like a threatening Monster Kane style thing.
No.
It's just him trying to be goofy. He shouldn't be a goofy guy.
No, that's like something that the New Day would say.
Yeah.
Not Rowan.
And then make fun of how bad that joke is.
Exactly, yeah. See, that's the thing. I laughed at that joke because I'm a terrible person and I appreciate terrible, terrible humor. But that I shouldn't be laughing along with Rowan and Bryan. Like, that's not the best use of someone like Rowan, who's big and intimidating, and has a very intimidating voice. If they're going to make him talk, make him say intimidating things. Mm. The brief time when the Bludgeon Brothers did their little down is up, up is down promo type things, I liked Luke Harper in it, and then I listened to Rowan, and I was like, oh my god, I'm scared listening to Rowan. Like, he has a really deep, intimidating voice. Don't use it for knock-knock jokes.
Zingers.
Zingers, yeah. It makes no sense to me, but...
Give that Dean that John Moxley Chris Jericho podcast a listen because he does talk about just how out of touch Vince is with humor that connects.
In
2019,
that and that
this stunk of it.
Yeah.
But Bryan just carried on. He was like, "Yeah, sure, whatever, Rowan. Let me cut a very good promo." And they're in Oklahoma, and he's like, "Oklahoma, you're rubbish. You have fracking here. Mm-hmm. You have fracking to the extent where there are more earthquakes now than in California, which is on a tectonic freaking plate."
Yay!
And the crowd like, "Boo! Don't you say anything bad about our fracking, which is poisoning our water supplies and destroying our infrastructure." So that's how good he is.
I don't understand. He's like, "You get more earthquakes," and the crowd cheered for earthquakes.
It's like the roller coaster of the globe. Whoa, they're fun. I've never been in one. So Bryan said they're the Planets Tag Team Champions. Mm-hmm. I thought we were going to get different belts, but they've still got the blue ones.
I thought they teased they were going to have different belts because I thought when they first won them, they said, "We're going to go away and make new belts."
Yeah.
That was literally, they said very straight up, just like, "We will have new belts soon." But apparently not. They've still got leather.
Mm-hmm.
And no one's called them out for being a hypocrite this time yet.
this brought out Heavy Machinery, which I like as a thematic touch. Mm-hmm.
I like Heavy Machinery's theme as they come out. It's very industrial.
Lots of
tung, like metal sound and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, that's cool. That I can dig that. It really works. With the content of what Bryan just said, combined with Heavy Machinery's look and their theme and stuff, it worked.
Yeah.
Worked really well.
And they came out, but then Tucker ruined all that thematic promise.
God.
With the line, "As much as we love having fun, it's time to get down to some serious blue-collar business."
Mm-hmm. It's the same line as Lucha House Party from Wego, when the commentators used to say they used to love having fun.
Love having fun.
Who doesn't like having fun? Having fun is fun. That's what makes it fun. That makes no sense.
It's infuriating. Anyway, they just walked away after that. This segment just ended. Yeah, there was no beatdown, was there?
Because, no, it wasn't any beatdown or anything. But the one thing I did like about this was when Tucker did say, as much as we love having fun, Otis just screams the fuck, he just goes, yeah! off mic, which I really enjoyed. I just like seeing Otis do that.
Otis didn't really say anything here, though, apart from that off mic.
No, and he just said, what was it? He said, as much as we love having fun, time to get down some blue collar business. We want to take the tag team titles or something like that. And then Otis just kind of said, yes, that is what we want to do. He didn't really say anything. Didn't add anything to it.
Title.
Yeah, pretty
Brian
much.
Munchkin.
That's what we're going to do, Tucky, etc.
So are you excited about that feud? Heavy Machinery, Brian and Rowan?
Depends what you call excited. I'm more excited for it than a lot of other things in WWE. I think it could be very
relatively
good.
Relatively excited.
Yeah, I'm. Yeah, in the WWE scale, I am excited for it. I mean, obviously they're not going to be fighting at Super Showdown because Brian's not going to be going. But what's the one after that? Stomping Grounds? Is that the one after? I assume it'll probably happen there. I think it could be a really good match, and I hope it is. I hope they're given enough time to work a good story into it because I think it could be, one, very funny, but two, it could also show how good Heavy Machinery are. They might, you know, wow the crowd, and it might actually get them over. It might make them stars, which I'm looking forward to. But having said that, I don't think it probably will be, and it probably not going to be great.
Yeah, I don't think Heavy Machinery are a revival-style team where you give them a long match and they get over. They're a spot-based comedy team. Mm. I've never seen anything of them to say they're a legit in-ring good tag team.
That's fair.
And I look at this. I was initially excited about Brian becoming tag team champion. I thought there was a lot of stuff they could do there. And I feel like this is bringing Brian down now rather than Brian elevating a division, which is where I thought it was going to go.
Yeah.
So I'm not as high on this as
and
I could be.
When they're the champions and they bury the entire division, how are you going to make a star out of that? It's them just being like, well, we're champions
Wild
now. It's literally just like them having the titles and just saying, well, I guess we have no challenges now because we're obviously the best ones. So I guess we'll just wait around or whatever. Like, they're not being stars. They're not doing anything good with it. They're just there.
Yeah.
Which is not great.
After this, we got Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville in the backstage area. Mandy Rose is on front of a magazine cover.
Muscle and Fitness, her.
Which is enough to build an entire women's subplot around. Male matches, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying men's matches, male wrestlers, seem to be on the front covers of magazines all the time. And sometimes they're mentioned, but it never plays into a storyline.
Never, ever.
At the most, it plays into a little backstage skit for a bit, but it never plays into the actual wrestling side of things. Mm-hmm. And again, it's just that it's not like gratuitously sexist, but it's a low-key, unconscious, misogynist way of thinking that is going to isolate female fans from your product.
Absolutely. When,
oh, you got to be on a magazine. It's just like the old Vince mentality of, you're a Playboy centerfold. But he can't say that anymore.
No, exactly.
So you're on the front of cover of a magazine.
Yeah, it's literally
you're so pretty. That's how you bring value to the world.
And that was what this was as well. And I understand for Mandy's character, it makes sense for her to gloat about it. I'm on the front cover of a magazine. Isn't that great? And she can show off all the magazines and say, look, I'm a Muscle Fitness. Aren't I amazing? Everyone should read this because I'm on it, etc. That's fine. That makes sense for her character. But to then have that play in to... And they could use that to then set up a match. If they had a backstage segment where she was being too annoying and then they found Ember Moon, which is what happened, gave her the magazine, she said, go away, I'm trying to read. And then she was like, no, you should really read this, and annoys her. She's like, fine, let's have a match. Fine. Then that's it. But no, they didn't do that. They took the Muscle and Fitness magazines, they found Ember Moon, gave them all to her, Ember Moon went, and then sat there reading a book, and then it was Mandy Rose versus Carmella.
I just, I was like, oh, okay, so it's an Ember Moon versus Mandy Rose match now. Yeah. No, it was a rematch from last week.
Yeah.
Which wasn't baffling. Like this epic encounter that deserved retelling. That was like a 1 minute match last Tuesday.
Yeah.
I completely agree. This Ember Moon stuff is ridiculous as well. Because they go up to her. They're there being all cool with their magazines. You know, all the kids with their magazines these days. Mm-hmm. And Ember Moon's sitting on top of a production crate and she's reading a book. Mm-hmm. Like she's writing a book report for school. And I was like, oh, what is... Is this an interesting book? Because I glimpsed the front cover, mm-hmm. and it kind of looked like maybe a Dungeons and Dragons fantasy-style thing. I thought, well, you know, that makes sense for a character. It's what she's interested in. Mm-hmm. That's cool. That's a nice way to bring her personality through on TV. No, it was Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I just don't understand. It was so lame.
I can't give you an answer to that. I don't know. Why? What?
You know where that works? If Finn Balor's reading that. That's a funny joke. Cool.
Yeah, that's funny.
But I don't know why Ember Moon would be. It's like, I mean, maybe Vince thinks that's still current.
Maybe. Yeah. I have no answer. I'm speechless to this because I don't understand. But then it gets even worse, though, with the magazine stuff, because it doesn't stop.
No.
It doesn't just go, here's a backstage segment and that's it. Then we have Mandy versus Carmella. And the match goes for too long. It went about 2 minutes. Too long. And the finish came when Sonya Deville came on the apron, held up the magazine and said, look, pointed at Carmella and said, look, it's Mandy Rose on the magazine. And Carmella just apparently is now distracted, even though she knows the magazine's there and she's on it. And then Mandy rolls her up, which is, of course, the best finisher in the entire women's division.
Oh, yeah.
The roll up.
Protects everyone.
Yeah. I don't know what to say about this match.
Yeah, it was lame.
Really bad.
I just don't get why you're not using Ember Moon.
Like, she's right there.
Yeah, I forgot that Ember Moon was on SmackDown, and then I saw her, and I was like, oh, it's against Mandy Rose, but at least we'll see Ember Moon wrestle, and maybe, heaven forbid, have a storyline for the first time since coming up to the main roster, but nothing.
Then we
got Truth being chased backstage. This was peppered throughout the night.
Former WWE champion Jinder Mahal trying to ambush him, mm-hmm. and then got beaten by a bonk to the head. So, you know, that happened.
Then Aleister Black cut another promo in his darkened room, mm-hmm. which I thought was one of the best ones he's delivered.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say, yeah. For the character that they're trying to do with him, I think it works really well. I just don't like the character that they're doing for him because he seems a bit... It's too Bray Wyatt for me. He seems a bit, like, psychotic. And it was when he was saying... He delivers his lines really slowly, which can work. And it's a really good, like, style to do it. But then towards the end, and he starts, like, smiling. Mm. And then he's saying just, like, I'm waiting for someone to pick a fight with me. And it's all, like, really, like, psychotic and weird. It's like, okay, you kind of lost me a little bit there. If you just kind of kept it serious and just, like, I'm waiting for someone to pick a fight with me. And it just kind of faded out like that. I think that would probably be better.
You see, when you That's delivered those two versions, I was more excited by the one with intonation.
I'm not actually cutting a promo right now. But, for the character they're doing, he's delivering it very well. I just don't agree with the character personally.
I like the delivery. I liked it at the end. Mm-hmm. Just because all the other four have merged into a black room.
Yeah.
But this one I thought was, at least had something. I don't think he's stepping on Bray Wyatt's toes either. Especially considering how down that rabbit hole Bray's gone.
Yeah, not current Bray Wyatt. Yeah. Old Bray Wyatt, I should have clarified.
And then we got the Shane McMahon Appreciation Night. Good God, I don't want to talk about that again.
Oh, man.
Then Tea Time for Two. The Mega Blondes, Lacey Evans and Charlotte, drink tea backstage because Lacey Evans is a sassy Southern belle and they're sharing tea. Someone said on Reddit that Charlotte is so unlucky, all she wants is to have tea with people. But they keep turning on her.
That's
what happened
with
Becky.
Yeah, it's such a good spot.
And this turned into Bayley versus Lacey Evans, which we've already talked about a bit.
Yeah.
Charlotte was on commentary for it. They had a pretty okay match. I like Lacey in the ring, actually. I'm surprised by how much I enjoy her little spots.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's got a few, you know, the dabbing of the,
mm-hmm.
the dabbing of the
Oh, no, you didn't.
The slingshot elbow. I like some of the bits she does.
Mm-hmm.
But she is if she was a male wrestler, that's a mid-card act.
Absolutely.
And you would never get beyond mid-card because it's not a proper three-dimensional character.
She's like, I want to say Elias, in that she's got a good character and I think she has a couple good spots. Like, Elias has a really good, like, knee lift strike.
Yeah.
Looks really cool. And Lacey Evans has a couple cool moves, but he won the 24/7 championship. He's not, you know, he's not main event caliber, nor should he be. I don't think Lacey is that level either. I think she's very comparable in that sense. She's got decent in-ring work and a solid character. But but that's it.
Yeah,
like, there's nothing spectacular about it.
Yeah, Bayley took her to a quite a good match, but mm-hmm. Bayley punched Charlotte, who was on commentary, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah,
because it was the babyface showing some aggression for a change.
Yeah, it's nice.
And then Bayley got in the ring. Lacey rolled her up. The referee sort of missed a bit of a visual pin. I don't know if it was a full three count. Bayley reversed. Referee saw 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Bayley sort of scampered away. And then the Mega Blondes imploded.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte and Lacey scuffled.
So because Charlotte had chased Bayley into the ring after Bayley had punched her, the referee didn't count Lacey's roll up because Charlotte was still in the ring kind of being like, wanting to chase after Bayley. Eventually, after Charlotte got out of the ring, that's when Bayley countered the roll up and then she got her win over Lacey. So Lacey was thinking probably like, Charlotte screwed me because she would have won otherwise. So yeah, they implode. Lacey attacks her from behind. Charlotte gets a big boot on her and then they both.
With no shoes.
Does that make it more or less impactful?
I guess less if it's if you've got a heel there. She was wearing heels before.
If she's wearing heels. Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking for wrestling boots.
Let me just take off my shoes so I don't hurt you as much.
Sorry, I've done my feet.
You don't like feet?
You don't like feet? No. Okay.
At least I prefer that to you just going, oh, yeah. I really like feet.
Charlotte hits her with a big boot. They both kind of stand up and then stand on the ropes, looking across from each other, being like, grr. So hopefully...
Vince probably sees that and is thinking, SummerSlam. Yeah. SmackDown champion versus Raw champion.
So I'm hoping this is the last of the two blondes together for now, which is a shame because Charlotte had just debuted her new gimmick of being Lacey. But... hopefully that's just that's to the end of them now. Lacey can go over to Raw and be Lacey on Raw, and Charlotte can stay on SmackDown and be Lacey on SmackDown.
Yeah. Women's division feels really weak again.
Yeah, it does.
Surprising how Ronda left and they weren't spending as much money on it anymore. Mm-hmm. And then they slipped back into their old bad ways.
Huh, shocking.
Then we got a bunch of Super Arabia stuff crammed into a 10-minute promo package montage.
Undertaker's going to be on Raw.
Yep. I wonder if Goldberg will be.
Well, they
like
have
as a surprise entrance.
They don't do surprises anymore. What are you on about? They'll announce that ahead of time. They need to get ratings.
Yeah. So he's going to be on Raw ahead of Super Arabia next Friday. They did a different Randy Orton versus Triple H video package, which I thought was pretty cool. I mean, the video packages are always excellent in WWE.
I've put it twice in my notes for this episode. God, WWE can really do video packages, can't they? Because they did the Shane one. Was amazing. Really cool. Loved it. And it worked great for a heel character. Shame I really don't like Shane, and he's not as good as the video package makes him out to be, and I know that, but whatever. This one, it's such a shame that there's no story for Triple H and Orton, because there's such a good story to be told, and we've just not seen any of it. From all the history that they have, and all the fights and everything that's happened with them with the Evolution, and then breaking up, and all the things they've done since, and like Randy Orton being part of the Authority and stuff like that. There's so much story for them to go off. And nothing. Nothing's been done. They're just like, here's a video package. Done.
I don't mind it. I'd prefer this than Randy Orton and Triple H actually building a feud on TV.
I guess that's true, because I'd much rather that time go to something else. Yeah. But then again, I'd rather this match just doesn't happen.
It's a Super Arabia show. It's a one-off special exhibition match, which won't play into anything in the long run. So.
No.
I'm fine with how they've promoted it. And then it's just a one and done.
Yeah.
And then we got that WWE.com promo from last week where Finn Balor said the doctors didn't clear him after Money in the Bank. He wasn't even smiling. That's how serious this was.
Finn Balor's lost his smile.
And then it cut back to Andrade. And Andrade said, I'll beat you at Super Arabia.
Yeah. Bless Andrade. He's trying his English. Mm. And honestly, he's got quite a good voice when he talks. So hopefully, if his English does improve and he keeps cutting these promos, hopefully he'll turn into a really good promo in future.
You just have Selena Vega do it.
Selena Vega do it, yeah. I know, I'm being Vince in this scenario.
Because now she's just standing there.
Yeah, she's just going...
Yeah, and that's not the best use of her. The best use of Andrade is to wrestle.
Yeah.
The best use of Vega is to cut promos and cheat
and
do that Hurricane Rana thing she always does.
Beautiful. Especially just the spike one.
And together... They are greater than the sum of their parts.
Yeah, they really are. I don't know.
But Vince sees them and said, no, I want you to be the complete package and I want you to be the complete package. It's difficult.
Makes no sense.
And then we got the main event of Reigns and Truth beating McIntyre and Elias.
And the recap of Firefly Funhouse before that.
Oh, yeah,
so,
yeah. I don't even write that down anymore.
Yeah.
So I gave it a smack bang in the middle. What did you give it? I never review SmackDowns.
I would give it... What's 2 out of 5? Is it SmackDowner?
SmackDowner.
Yeah. SmackDowner. Yeah. I don't know. Well, I'll be honest with the people at home. I don't watch Raw and SmackDown all that often. Normally, I'll catch some highlights if there's something good happens. I'll watch some YouTube clips and stuff like that. It's the first time I've watched a full episode in a long time. I don't regret missing episodes. I was not very entertained.
You're not sports entertained.
I was not very sports entertained. It was fine.
But let's have some super chats from Randy Andy Datsun.
Hope that this is okay now.
Let's try it.
People said it did it when I was on camera, so I'll just talk for a second and then see what people say. But some people are suggesting that why isn't Becky Lynch taking the WrestleTalk magazine out into the ring and she's on the cover.
Yeah, she should be.
Absolutely. Yeah. Honestly, I'll take everything back I said about the muscle and fitness stuff if they do exactly the same thing, but with Becky Lynch and the WrestleTalk magazine.
Yeah, I mean, who would promote a magazine so much?
I don't know.
Who would do it?
Genuinely, I don't know.
Who would do it?
Not
and then
a clue.
Also go to WWE. Go to WrestleTalk.BigCartel.com to order this and also pre-order the WrestleTalk Almanac for this year that's available.
Apparently I sound perfect. Also, your comment brought out all the foot fetishists. Asuka has cute, tiny feet.
Please stop.
So, Kratos' Forgotten Son starts us off. He says, I think MJF is my new favourite heel. I'm looking forward to seeing his future.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm just so excited to see new talent that can cut promos.
Yeah. What a shocking concept that one is.
Maxman 475 says, hey guys, I live in Australia and work overnight. I'm always pumped when the Wrestle Ramble comes on.
Oh, that's good.
We're pumped that you're here.
Accompany you through those.
Bonza Ray says, Elias got his first title win in WWE tonight. They are finally building stars.
Yeah. That 24/7 title is a star maker.
Really is.
Look at Robert Roode.
Luke Owen has slid into my DMs to say, it wasn't when you were on the camera, it was the camera. There you go.
Right.
Okay, cool.
Thank you, Luke, for sorting that. Cactuar Cloud says, Battle of the Blondes will keep Charlotte off the title scene, so maybe Ember gets a shot at Bayley, or will there be Champs versus Blondes tag again?
What, like another... Yeah, I don't know. I think this is probably building to a Charlotte-Lacey match. But
I hope not.
But then, like, one of them would have to turn face. Like, that would be certain... Heel versus heel... I've never
very rarely
seen
works.
It work.
I've seen it work. Well, no, not strictly heel versus heel. I've seen there was the SummerSlam 2017 match, I want to say, which was the Fatal 4-Way with Lesnar, Joe, Reigns, and Strowman, I think. And Joe, Strowman, and Lesnar were all heels. And Reigns was going through a bit of a at the time. So they were basically all heels, apart from one which was a bit blurred. And Strowman was a bit tweener as well at the time.
As was Joe after the match with Brock.
That's true, yeah.
From Great Balls of Fire.
Great Balls of Fire, which was actually a really good show. Mm-hmm. Terrible name. That one, super loved it, super invested in it, and none of them were out-and-out babyfaces, which I think it worked really well, but that's an exception. That's not a common thing. Lacey versus Charlotte would not work.
You can put the magazine down.
No, I'm promoting the WrestleTalk magazine.
Sean Turner, who's one of Ollie's favourites. Idea, bring Sasha back.
Christ.
Have her drop a pipe bomb and make it in the summer. Make it the summer of Banks. Make her the female CM Punk right after the Bayley Sting idea.
Why not? Why not?
Sure. What would Banks say in the pipe bomb? Because it's already kind of been done by Punk over years of frustration and all that. So what would Banks say?
She just put Charlotte in where John Cena was.
I like you, Charlotte. I like you a hell of a lot more than a lot of the guys in the back. I hate this idea that you're the best.
It would be her irritating Boston.
I wonder how much I can do of that promo after the fight. I hate this idea that you're the best.
Because you're not.
Because you're not. I'm the best.
I'm the best in the world.
In that ring.
That's later.
On commentary. Even on commentary.
Even a commentary. Nobody can touch me. Yeah.
Thank you. The Grizzly Gentleman says, WWE fans since 94 can't do this anymore. Sterile, insulting product. No heart or passion. Ever going to change? Would you still watch it if it wasn't your job? No, I wouldn't.
I'd watch highlights, I think.
I would watch pay-per-views.
I'd watch pay-per-views and I'd keep up to date with what's happening.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't watch the shows.
I'd listen to, because I went through a long period in the early teens not watching WWE. Because I was like, Die Hard, Impact, TNA as it was back in the day. Mm. Or indie wrestling, because I was at the first shows of Progress. I don't bring that up that much. And I would just listen to the Solar Monster podcast. And I'd know all the storylines going on and all the backstage news, but never had to sit through it. Oh. That's when it was 2 hours long.
Oh, crikey. Well, you could do what I did. I went through a period, I think it was from Mania 30 to 31, or maybe it was a different year. I can't remember. Fell out of wrestling for like a little while. And I just watched WrestleTalk videos. That's all I did.
Pete, you stole my line.
I'm sorry.
Steve Winyard says, have you seen Talk Is Jericho, Moxley, Barry's WWE? Yeah.
I've listened to Talk Is Jericho. I haven't seen Talk Is Jericho.
It's a good podcast, just like the Wrestle Ramble. Karate Cat says, hey from New Jersey, I've been a fan for a couple of years now. Keep up the good work, guys. Heart emoji.
Thanks very much.
Karate Cat. Brad Grove says, did you see the Support Wrestle Talk and Save Us Triple H signs in the crowd during the Kevin Owens and Kofi segment on SmackDown?
Saw the Support Wrestle Talk one. Yeah, I didn't see the Trips one.
Keep making wrestling fun to watch, fellas.
Thanks, Frame.
Thank you very much.
Jobber JJ says, the quest for Drake Maverick continues to find truth. Truth.
Oh, truth. Yeah, he's on the quest for truth. Yeah, that makes sense. The truth is out there.
The truth will set you free. Did you know?
Sorry, I just jumped a bunch of people. Ryan F. says, I'm from Oklahoma, so I got a kick out of the digs.
Literal digs. Like digs right into the center of the earth that's slowly damaging your
deep
community.
Oil drilling.
Nice. Javier Reyes, 405, says, I feel like Kofi should be main eventing SmackDown. He is the world champion after all. But it was a championship pay-per-view caliber match, wasn't it?
I mean, he has main evented the vast majority of SmackDown so far. Yeah.
And there was nothing on this show that I thought was like, well, that should have been the main event. Like, everything was just kind of like middling. Mm. Like, the Roman tag match wasn't main event worthy, I wouldn't say. Like, the best thing on the show was the Kofi Owens match, which could have gone on the main event, but like, that's the same as what's been happening. And sure, he's a WWE champion, and that should generally main event the show. But then, like, there's nothing else that even comes close to that, I think. There's no main event angles they've got right now.
Strange. I don't mind what they did, just because you set up the main event in the Shane segment. Mm-hmm. And then I think, as a close to the show, the truth winning back the title is actually very good. So I stand by their idea.
Yeah.
You know the Argo line? It's the best bad idea we've got.
Yeah.
Degenerate Forever 84 says, opinions on what Moxley said in Jericho's podcast.
Just fascinating. And it's what we suspected all along, that he was very creatively stifled there. He hated coming to work and doing the hokey S word for as long as he did. And just really interesting stories about how the wrestlers have to treat Vince, and how Vince has this magical power to convince a lot of people that what they're doing is good and worth doing. Mm. I think he genuinely believes that as well. Yeah.
Absolutely, he does, yeah. I'm very much looking forward to listening to it.
Jobber JJ says, why are wrestlers blocking you guys on Twitter? I think it's probably a response to Baron Corbin blocking Luke.
Luke.
Ryback's blocked me.
Yeah, I don't know who I'm blocked by because I don't search people.
I'm blocked by Baron as of today. I found that out. Which is a shame, because I'm talking about how overpushed he is. I actually always say I like Baron's wrestling and I think he's a fun promo, but he just shouldn't be in four segments every week and wrestling for the Universal title.
They're not following your tweet to him. Because you tweeted him one of your silly tweets.
Maybe it was.
Could have been. Or it could have been, you know, when he responded to WrestleTalk about...
He may have just looked in our bio and seen who's the main people on
exactly,
there.
Exactly, but...
Did block me.
Yeah, I'm not blocked.
Well, so, Randy Orton blocked me from out of nowhere.
He did.
Because I used to make fun of him having baths instead of coming to work.
Frederick Ernegren. Oh, this is, he's from Sweden. So hello, fellow Sweden. Swede. How happy are we over the fact that Luchasaurus is now all elite?
Yeah, he was one of the standouts of Double or Nothing. He was very physically impressive, and he's got a great look. Mm-hmm. So
the mask is scary.
Zach Lintner says, need more housemate Hyman.
Housemate Hyman will be back on Screen Grapple.
He will,
and
yes.
Also, we're doing some Screen Stalker stuff as well with him and Laurie, so mm-hmm. he shall be featuring on the expanded universe.
Indeed. A lot more.
Bryant Hoyt says, Bayley beat Charlotte for Raw Championship and beat her WrestleMania and now Money in the Bank. Do you buy Bayley having Flair's number?
That's a story they could tell. Mm-hmm. They'll probably forget about
pretty
it.
Pretty sure yeah. Charlotte's beaten Bayley plenty of times.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, sorry, just a quick one. We were talking about people facing each other. How many times do you think Baron Corbin has faced Finn Balor since they've both been on the same roster? I'm talking main shows and house shows.
That hasn't told me this yesterday, so I already know the answer.
Years. Is it 2 years
yeah,
worth?
Yeah, I guess. So 2 or 3 years.
On TV, not house shows.
No, and house shows.
And house shows.
Yeah, oh, I already know the answer.
I'm going to say 72.
92.
I was going to say 98, and I thought that's too high.
Well, they were guessing the like 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 92.
Wow.
Yeah, it's absurd.
Droz Walker 9 says, W need to make current champs mean something.
Yeah. Yes, they do.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, that's Victor, hot take, that one.
Victor Rivera says, I have an illness, and the only remedy is more Andy. That sounds like you're hitting on me, which I'm fine with.
The option is death in that choice.
Jeb Sonnen says, you are not Luke.
Yep.
Wait a second.
Well spotted.
You told me you were Luke.
Well.
We better go check in some cupboards.
I can't see, by the way. I'm medically blind.
Chris Fitzgerald says, will rating go down if Vince has Brock win his cash in? And if so, do you think they'll go down far enough to where they take the title off him quickly rather than having him hold it hostage again?
No, I think he'll hold it till SummerSlam if he cashes in at Super Arabia.
Yeah, which I think he might because they've announced his appearance at the show, right? But he doesn't have a match. Yeah. So,
Small Afro Games, which is Jaron Walker, because Luke's not here to say it. When Andy turns his camera on, there's massive echo. That was earlier, but it's cool. Fine now. Right, thank you cool. for that. Dustin Pylon says, I missed Ali this week. No cool outside promo.
Yeah. Yeah. There's plenty of people who are not getting TV time that could be getting TV time because you've got two shows to tell your stories on.
Yep.
Llewellyn Isaac says Kevin Owens claimed he didn't attack Big E like Big E said. Big E working with Ziggler for a heel turn. Zig and E do have history, as we mentioned last
week. And AJ Lee comes back.
Yeah, AJ Lee comes back. CM Punk comes back after that as well with AJ Lee. Yeah, it all works. Yeah, perfect.
Big E gets the old
singlet.
Serena comes back.
Yeah,
well.
starts doing the five count gimmick. Yeah,
Luke Gallows is there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep.
Tim Arnt. Aunt, was it Aunt?
Aunt.
Tim Aunt.
Yeah, as I thought. Just thought of a way to get nuclear heat at Super Arabia. Baron pins Seth in 3 seconds. And on the next Raw, he trashes the Universal title to bring back the spinner belt.
That's one way of doing it. Yeah, not even have Brock do it.
That would be... Honestly, I wouldn't mind it. Honestly, I wouldn't mind it because... It would be so funny. Mm-hmm. It would provide me with so much entertainment.
It shouldn't be a spinner belt, though.
It should be a Baron Corbin belt.
A belt with a waistcoat.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, perfect.
Mm. A cummerbund.
Mm.
Mm.
Javier Reyes again says, at least Baron isn't on both shows.
For now.
He
is, though, in spirit. Because it's that Baron, Lashley, McIntyre, Elias, Shane... And Sami Zayn sometimes. It's that group of people who are just aggressively mid-card. It's like beige. You know, when something's so boring that they start to annoy you. And you're like, but there's nothing about you. Why are you annoying me so much?
Yep. Yeah, it's
basic.
Exactly that.
They're basic.
They're basic.
Do you know what sign language is for basic?
Really?
You're basic.
Tomo says, I feel like I would fit perfectly sitting in the middle. Anyway, I think Tomo. I know who attacked Sami Zayn and Big E. None other than Bayley Sting. I love you guys. I love me as well.
That would be the only payoff that makes sense.
I would love Bayley Sting. I don't think I've mentioned my Bayley Sting stance because I don't think I've been on a podcast yet. Bayley Sting's great. It should definitely happen. Okay.
Well, you just said Baron Corbin should beat Seth Rollins. I did.
Yeah.
Ollie, you have to help me pronounce this name. It's something. It's like it's like Ollie's surname. No, Laurie's surname, and then it's like a woodworking guy.
Yeah. No. Who? What could that possibly
be? Oh, like Blaine.
Yeah.
A woodworking guy. Yeah. Woodcutter. Blaine Woodcutter.
Blaine Woodcutter.
Yeah.
Blaine Woodcutter says, not even Chopper Pete and Randy Andy can escape the mid-card presenter vortex of Olive Oil Danish.
Shots fired right there.
Shot fired from Bradley Treeman.
Johnny Ace Gaming says, I think Big E's re-injury is a... Do you think Big E's re-injury is a punishment for all the tweets?
No, I think he's still injured.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they just had him on TV.
Yeah, I mean, he was scheduled to be out for months and months and months. So when they said he was coming back, I was like, there's no way he's already, you know.
Yeah.
Wasn't it until like 2022, according to superstar Billy Gray?
That's what Big E tweeted that as a joke. And then lots of people, like some people, like some dirt sheets actually thought, oh, okay, we'll report that then. not us. Steve Winyard says, what percentage chance someone like Sasha comes out and confirms what Moxley said about WWE?
And not right now, because I imagine she just wants to play it safe, just wait out your contract or whatever. If you're in their situation, I wouldn't rock the boat.
No. Yeah.
Because like contract and legal issues are just the worst.
Yeah. And I mean, even if and when Sasha does leave and does all the contract stuff, I don't think she'll be saying the same things as Moxley, because she's not had the same kind of complete... Well, I guess she does have a very similar shift of character, but she's not doing hokey S-word in the same kind of vein that Moxie does. She might have frustrations with the creative process and stuff like that. Yeah. But
no hokey S-word like the couples therapy.
Oh, Christ.
Rocky Balboa says, hey, Ollie, Pete and Andy. Hello, Rocky.
Hi, Rocky.
Hey, Rocky.
Tomo says, guess what I'm giving you? That's right, money.
Tomo.
And then Friedrich Ernegrian says, and it's disappeared, what about W starting a Twitter account for the 24/7 belt where we can get the title side of things?
Well, they could add that to their social media followers.
Yeah, so exactly. Yeah, then they get 1.1 billion. Be great.
Alistair Gammon says, moustache break.
Bum, 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 bum. Bum 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 bum. Well, do the next question.
Adam Daily Live says, if Heavy Machinery has a title match at Stomping Ground pay per view, they won't get cheered because it's in Brian's home state of
Washington.
Washington.
I wasn't listening.
Yeah, no, not a clue. Singing. I have no idea what you just say. I was very distracted.
Heavy Machinery won't get cheered at Stomping Ground because it's in
Washington. Possibly, but Brian's so good. Ah, oh, but yeah, he was a baby face Washington. In Washington, and he said
heavy
you are educated.
Will be heels and not do any of their comedy spots. Yeah, no, it won't work.
Jeffrey Pridemore says Shane versus the entire Samoan dynasty in a gauntlet match takes all of SmackDown. Shane wins, of course. Best in the world.
Sure. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Kratos's Forgotten Son says, Screenstalker shout out here. Great channel. What is Ollie, Chopper Pete and Andy's favourite movie and video game?
Oh, okay.
Shall I go first? Someone
go on
camera.
And
do it.
Favourite video game is Hogs of War.
Of course it is.
The single greatest game of all time.
Yeah.
And movie...
Harry Potter. No, it's
not. I think the Harry Potter films are way overrated.
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings, possibly.
Sure.
Which one?
Hobbit
Part
Return of the King.
Oh, the film that doesn't end. Nice.
It should end about 20 minutes before it does.
The 24/7 championship runs in the version I watched recently.
My favourite film is Kingsman: The Secret Service, because it's ridiculous and crazy. I love it.
Ever?
Yeah, I love it. It's so stupid, but it knows it's stupid. And I love how crazy and wacky it is. I enjoy seeing, I've forgotten his name now, Colin Firth. I enjoy him just seeing murder a bunch of people in a church. Really? It's just fun. It's just a film I like to put on and just like, this is fun. I like this. Favorite video game? Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Explorers of Sky.
Favorite movie? It's a Wonderful Life. Mm-hmm. And favorite video game? Probably Zelda Ocarina of Time.
That's a good shout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, a shout out to About Time, the romantic comedy starring Rachel, what's her face, McAdams and Domhnall Gleeson. Mm-hmm. That's a great film. Judas Black says Joey Ryan pass on AW. Is he going to WWE? Well, he also passed on WWE. So.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Ryan.
Yeah.
I thought he'd be a perfect fit for AEW.
Apparently not. No, I think he just wants to keep doing his own thing, just be independent and go everywhere and do everything. Mm. So, you know, more power to him.
We've got 10 more, so let's get through these. Mirage Desai says Brock cashes in on Kofi as no big heel on SmackDown. Kofi losing to anyone else would not be fitting. If he tries on Seth, I see it as a failed attempt on Seth winning and taking the feud into SummerSlam.
Ooh. And I think Lesnar's cashing in on Rollins, and Lesnar wins.
I mean, Rollins has been feuding more with Lesnar than he has with Corbin, so... Mm.
Danny DeVito copying me and doing a prediction of what The Undertaker's promo will be next week, which is just Goldberg will rest in peace.
Yep.
And that's it. Kratos' Forgotten Son. One last question for today, I promise. In regards to the World Wrestling Talk magazine, is it still possible to buy the digital issues 1-4? Currently only 5-9 are available digitally. Thank you, my friends.
Yes, it is, but there's only so many products we can put up on that shop page, so we had to take those ones off. So we'll look into that. Send Andy an email.
Andy at WrestleTalk.com, and I'll figure that out for you, Kratos. Thank you very much, Jeff Zanzibar, for your generous donation. Cool Stuff 9217 says Triple Threat Universal Title match at Super Arabia.
Triple Threat? What, Brock cashes in before the match starts?
Guess so.
Do a Rollins cash in, like at Mania 31, for poetic justice.
That's don't a terrible
that.
Idea.
Yeah, no. Don't do that.
Heist of the day.
Yeah.
Fred Martinez Jr. says, R-Truth is by far the best European champion thus far. Long may he reign. By the way, you keep wrestling fun, and Texas loves you guys.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Texas.
Yeah, thanks, Texas.
Zach Lindner says, you've done an admirably acceptable job today.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Was that directed at both of us? Or just me replacing Luke?
It's the show. Yeah, cheers, man.
Hangman AJ Wilson says, please have Regal win the 24/7 title on NXT.
That would be brilliant.
That would be amazing.
By
I love
accident.
That. Yeah. Someone
oh,
will attack him.
Oh,
like,
bugger.
Undisputed Era will like attack him, and then he'll fall on the champion and score a pinfall accidentally.
Two more. Chris Fitzgerald says WWE to AW confirmed. And
good one,
finally, of course, it's Tomo says, Tomo. God, I love me. Also, everybody in the chat, you guys are all right, I guess. I think that's probably because he keeps asking everyone to spam his name in the comments.
Yeah, it didn't
Tomo,
surprise me.
Tomo Mania is running wild in the live
chat.
It's all thanks
to
me. I put
over.
Him over. It's like I put you over, Pete.
Thank you to Rachel Hanover, who sent in a lot of performance center based stats.
Oh.
So I thought you might find some of this very interesting. This means absolutely nothing to me.
I'm a stats man.
But it might mean something to you. I was watching the performance center combine. You might be interested to know that Montez Ford has a 37.3-inch vertical leap. For reference, LeBron James...
I'm glad you said leap. I was worried where that was going to go.
Yeah, I think that was also a line from one of the Triple H chapters.
But everyone already knew that I had an enormous member.
An enormous leap. Yeah. LeBron James, for example, is arguably the most dominant active basketball player, and he has a 40-inch vertical leap. And the average NBA player only has a 28-inch vertical leap.
That's incredible. Yeah, well, obviously, it's just a standing jump. How high can you go? Mm. How high can you get your feet up, whether it be right or the lowest point of your body?
Yeah.
But I didn't have any reference point. But to know that LeBron James is 40, that's insane.
Yeah, absolutely. The combine is it's almost 6 hours long. I'm just trying to find interesting stats. I think it's something they've done on the network. It's basically just like a behind-the-scenes thing at the PC. I don't know.
Is a combine a word for a smush of stats?
The network loads a lot of content.
Like a harvester? I hear combine, I think harvester.
Bianca Belair and Rina Gonzalez can both deadlift 400 pounds.
Mm.
Zia Lee placed third at 390. The old PC deadlifting record was 775 by Otis Dozovich.
Wow.
Oh,
yeah.
Is that almost a ton? I don't know.
No.
No.
Well, I don't know. So, what, 770 pounds?
775 pounds.
Yeah. So just let me find out what that is in kilograms, because I'm not very good with pounds.
Omar Palmares shattered this record, easily deadlifting 800 pounds and holding it for multiple seconds. Bugenhagen placed second with 760 pounds. A lot of the stats are hard to explain if you don't watch combines, dynamic press benches, agility drills, and the like. So apparently it's a training thing.
Yeah, I was, as you were talking, I thought, huh, it sounds like a kind of meet, doesn't it? Like an Arnold or a classic. Mm. An Arnold classic where everyone just does
an Arnold
various forms of strength. So 775 pounds is 350 kilograms, which is incredible. However, what is the deadlift record? I think it's obviously way above that.
Mm. WWE were probably trying to sign that person.
Oh, 463. So not massively over. Mm. Well, it's, you know, almost a quarter more, but interesting that they're that close to it.
Hey, this lad, like, apparently did it with ease.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Scott Corbett, I'm going to say Corbett, it could be Corbett, but it's got double T, so I said Corbett. As emailed us in, hey, Luke, Ollie, and Laurie, but nothing for Randy. Firstly, great work on the show and keep up the consistency. I'm an exercise psychologist, and while at university, we learned that exercise can be classified as a mindful act of planned movement aimed at improving one's health and fitness. While physical activity are acts that we perform while completing daily tasks, not necessarily aimed at improving health and fitness, i.e. gardening or housework, they can be classified as physical activity, but not exercise. Therefore, walking can be classed as both exercise and a physical activity. Hope this helps clear things up or just make it more confusing.
You've made it more confusing. You've just said both.
Yeah.
You've just put us all on the fence.
Yeah.
I obviously topple one side of the fence.
Yeah. Well.
And everyone else is entitled to their opinion.
Fat people are useless and are just making excuses.
They just need to exercise more. But isn't that two people now who have said that while I'm not wrong.
Yeah, it's very clear.
They've said I'm not wrong.
Yes.
They haven't said you're 100% right.
No.
But I'm not wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the aim, isn't it?
No, that's mostly just what we want from life. Next controversial topic, alarms. My girlfriend and I have this argument all the time, but I'm the one that sets multiple alarms. Never to extent of snoozing for 1 to 2 hours, but normally 15 minutes apart. But to decide if I want more sleep, then rush to get ready for work or be a normal person and get ready steadily. When we moved in together, she wasn't happy with my alarms constantly going off in the morning, especially since I would normally have to get up for work earlier. So she was quick to put an end to all this nonsense. Now, I have one alarm, but keep snoozing it for extra sleep most mornings. I love you too. Goodbye. Did I tell you what happened the other weekend when my wife had left her, like, because she, I'd say, quite stubbornly refused to set an alarm that would only go off Monday to Friday, even though her phone has the ability to do that.
Yeah, you can turn it off Saturday.
She just says that's a lot of effort and we'll just keep it on 7 days a week. I don't know. I don't know.
Surely just take the phone and do it for her and she doesn't have to know.
I did. She changed it back.
But then that the effort argument goes away.
I don't know, dude. As I said, I thought it was stubbornness.
That's bizarre.
Until,
I think she's read a sleep stat where they say that you should wake up at the same time every day. So maybe she's got that
in the back
of her mind.
But she's not getting up at the same time.
Well, yeah, I know.
She's, like,
it's an aspirational stupid thing to think.
But it came to her head a couple of, I think it was either last Saturday or the Saturday before, where the alarm had gone off and she was just sleeping through it. But it woke me up and I had to get out of bed and go and turn it off. And I was like, this has got to end now. Because that was it. I was awake after that. So it woke me up. I wanted to lie in.
So you baked it in a chili and you gave it
and
to her.
And I fed it to her.
And she's like, oh, this is a delicious chili. What have you put in it? Your phone.
Your phone. Now the alarm is going to go off inside of you all the time.
You're the crocodile from Peter Pan.
Or Scott Teneman from South Park.
Yes.
Yeah.
Best episode.
best episode they've ever done. Let's have this Rusev Hey.
Rusev Hey.
This comes in from Alex, who says, "Hey, Ollie, Luke, and the team. Long-time pod swafter. Met you guys at MediaCon and proudly told you guys that. Anyway, I went to an unbelievable WrestleGate show this Saturday in Nottingham.
Fantastic.
Wow, what a show. Saw you guys chatting with some people and didn't want to disturb you. Absolutely should have disturbed us. We are more than happy to be disturbed. Unless we're talking to other people, of course. But come join the conversation."
That's what happened to Progress. We got a group of like three people who didn't know each other.
Yeah.
We're just having a big old chat.
Big old chat. It was great. Hopefully catch you guys at another one. I managed to get a few pictures with Hangman Page himself and the awesome Rampage Brown, who is an awesome guy to chat to. Yeah. Pics or it didn't happen. Are you guys going to be at more WrestleGate show? These are the pictures. Look at this little handsome chap here.
Hey. I recognize that
and
face.
Adam Page, of course. Yeah. And there he is with Rampage Brown.
Yeah, Rampage, simultaneously a terrifying human being and a lovely guy.
Who I'm just always terrified to speak to.
Yes, yeah. Legit, have never really had a proper conversation with him. I'm just scared of him.
At WrestleGate, we were quite cool. We were backstage. And I kept wanting to go up and say, big fan of your work. Because I don't think I've ever met him before. Mm. Big fan of your work, this, that, and the other. But I genuinely was too scared. And I think I've spoken about this in the podcast before about the etiquette. If you're backstage at wrestling shows, you should shake everyone's hand. It's just a wrestling thing. Always shake people's hands the same way. Always wipe your feet before you get into the ring. But I feel like I'm bothering people when I do that. So I don't, because I don't want to be an annoying fan that's walking up to people and getting in their way. And yet, then I think, oh no, am I just drawing hate onto myself? Because I'm big leaguing everyone by not shaking anyone's hand. Walking around backstage, be like, yep, no, I'm WrestleTalk.
It's presumptuous, isn't it? It's like, oh, shake my hand.
Yeah.
Shake my hand, I'm Luke Owen.
Yeah.
It
is your pleasure to meet me.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
And he said, we'll finish on a crap joke, and that's how we're going to end this podcast. Why did the Mexican kill his wife? Tequila! To kill her. To kill her. If you want to send an email in, it's luke@wrestletalk.com. That's luke@wrestletalk.com. Send in your Rusev Hayes, your generalities, and your get betters. We've actually got quite a few get betters to get through, so that is going to be something we're going to be doing over the next couple of episodes. If you have seen Godzilla King of the Monsters and you're wondering what the heck is that post-credit sequence all about, well, your boy's here, because that's what I've been working on today. I've made a video explaining what I think the post-credit sequence is, although I think the second theory I have is probably more correct, and I could have directly quoted the director on it, but I found the quote too late because I wrote it on the way home yesterday because I was too excited to write it. But yeah, go check that out over at Screen Stalker right now. And we'll be back tomorrow with the NXT Ramble. That'll be myself and Laurie, and then I believe myself and housemate Hyman are going to be doing the Saturday Ramble.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a weird couple of months. I feel like everyone's on holiday or bank holidays or weird pay-per-view shows that we have to come in on Saturdays for. And yeah, I'm at a stag this weekend.
I didn't ask you this yesterday. Where is the stag?
Northern Ireland.
Northern Ireland.
I'm going to have a purr show.
Is that how you're going to talk the entire time?
The entire time. I don't even know if this is an Irish accent.
What are you going to do?
Or a Northern Irish accent.
What are you going to do while you're there?
So we can't do airsoft anymore because the stag has sadly injured his knee. Oh. So we are going to go on a pedal tour of Belfast while drinking beer.
So it's like a pedal bike, like a pedal bus thing.
Yes.
I think that's what my wife did for her friend's hen do.
All right, don't make it lame.
And the bride-to-be fell off the bus and twisted her ankle so she couldn't actually pedal the bike. And they were a bit worried because it was so close to the wedding. She might not even be able to walk down the aisle.
Brilliant.
Because her ankle swole out.
Yeah.
So that's my warning. Be careful.
We've also got a weekend full of board games because I told you this yesterday.
You did.
Yeah, the Groom's brothers are super into board games. They have a board game day like twice a month where they just invite loads of people over.
Cool.
They've got a big library of board games. And I'm bringing Smash Up. So I don't think they've played that. So
you're going to introduce them to a game.
Well, yeah, I mean, I grew up with The Groom, and his older brother, I was always like, he was the, because I didn't have an older brother, he would recommend like Monty Python and stuff like that. And that would filter to me through Jack. So in a way, I feel like he's my older brother.
Oh, nice.
And I'm going to go, and hopefully he's like, hey, have you played Smash Up?
You're going to impress him.
I want to, yeah.
Yeah.
And also his younger brother, in my head, is still his younger brother, but has actually turned into a massive weightlifter with a giant beard. So I don't know how I'm going to be able to resolve those two images in my head.
Have you got the base deck, the base pack?
Yes, yes,
yeah,
I
okay.
Do, yeah.
I was trying
and
to make
two
sure.
expansions.
Oh, yeah. You're super into it, aren't you?
Super into Super Smash Up.
We're going to be doing a very board game heavy weekend as well because we're off to the UK Games Expo, the NEC. Going to go see Nightmare Live, which I'm super excited about. Do you remember the TV show Nightmare?
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to see a live version of it at the UK Games Expo.
Cool.
Because that's how cool I am. Well, that is all we've got time for on this episode. We'll see you tomorrow. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.